said I shouldn't be coming to practice how to shoot arrows and how to fight with my sword. And you know, I didn't want them to be angry. See, the enemy is there now. Go and call your auntie. Call your auntie. Ah, my auntie, she ran. And you're here, you should have followed your auntie. You better follow your auntie now. Go with your auntie. Don't pray the soldiers, your enemies, the enemy soldiers, don't march to the village where you think you've run to. In fact, who said you will arrive? Who said you will arrive? Oh yeah, take a gun. Ah, I don't know how to use guns. God forbid. You're dead. Please, I am using physical language to describe spiritual things. In the spirit realm, these weapons are real. They really work. They are actual. The battles are real. People actually kneel down and go to war and save people's physical lives, not just their spiritual lives. People actually kneel down and prevent accidents and death. Physical death. People actually open their mouth and preach to someone, and in the spirit, they are using a sword to cut off demons and free them from chains. Have you seen all those movies where American special forces or some special forces go break into a prison, shoot people there, and free some captive that was being tortured? What do you think happens here every time someone is delivered? What do you think is happening? People that have submitted to training have broken into prison, like many of you were in, broken you free and carried you out and arrived safely and given information. Mission accomplished. What if someone did not learn how to do that? You take pride, say, me? Not me, oh. Not me. Eh, I heard they captured her. Hey, yeah, sorry. I help her now. Mm. It is not that got you to where you are. So when God says, learn how to fight, learn how to use weapons, do not annoy creation by taking pride in, I've come out now. Hey, thank God. At least me, I'm free. Me, I'm fine. Why does the Lord tell us so many times that we need to go back and save others? By the way, I felt that the Lord was complaining that we slowed down on evangelism. Don't slow down anything. Anything you've been trained to do, the reality is the same. So still, I know people are preaching on the buses, in the public vehicles. It's that whole thing of, okay, I'll go out by 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. You're on strike. Keep teaming up and going in their houses, in their rooms, on their beds, everywhere. Speak, 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 speak. You are saving them. We need more righteous in Nigeria. The Lord has spoken of troubles coming to our nation. The more righteous people they are, the greater the chances of Sodom and Gomorrah being saved. The fewer they are, like the Bible had, the lesser the chances. No one is saved. When trouble hits a family or a village or a group of people, the other day we were praying here, it's like the Lord was telling us that someone is going to die. He felt by very many people here, not amongst us. Well, we had multiple things that God was showing us, you know, and we began to pray. We didn't even know who really or know anything, but we just know that the impact, they say, is going to be felt by many. So we pray. You don't go saying, what's my business? Is it my brother? Is it my father? What do I care? One death can affect your city. Do you know even bad people dying can destroy a whole place? Haba, go and look at Libya. Gaddafi died. Libya is at war. I think they are still fighting up and down, left and right, killing them. So how many people have died since Gaddafi died? Meanwhile, they killed Gaddafi. They fought small, and yes, it took a while, but they took Gaddafi out. Upon that, the death escalated after he died. Because while he was there, the strong man of Libya kept things in control. Similar to Egypt. Similar to other countries. They might even seem bad, but things might not fall apart. But again, on the other hand, there has to be war for there to be peace. America, everyone talks about, there was war before there was peace. The British, their cousins across the sea, said, no, you're under us. You're a colony. Like Nigeria was a colony of Britain. America was a colony of Britain. They say, you cannot separate. The people say, no, this is our land. The French supported them. The Indians supported the British because they hated these Americans that settled on their land. I mean the Native American Indians. Red Indians, as they call them. And there was all this fighting going on, all this fighting and trouble. But that trouble resulted in the plan of freedom that everybody wants to run to now. There's a price to pay for peace. The sin is you trying to have peace before you've had war. Now that's a sin. Stop trying to have peace before you fought wars. And battle is for your soul. It's at the soul and spirit level. This fight is at the soul and spirit level. This fight. People, you must fight. Understand, respect people in their responsibilities. You bet, if you're here, let me make this comment. If you don't know how to respect authority, I have to be careful what I say because I don't want to create things. But I want to inform you because sometimes whether I said or not, it will come to pass. Respect is not optional in the military. It is not optional. Have you seen all these foreign movies, especially the ones that have come out in recent times, in the last 20 years or so, military movies of soldiers disobeying the commands of their guards? Have you watched them? You know, it seems they take delight in making those kinds of movies of children disobeying parents and winning and saving everyone, of soldiers disobeying their commanding officers and saving everyone. Have you? Now, there are commands given by military that are bad and you don't obey that. But just understand that it's a spirit of rebellion that is being planted in the world because there are too many. It's almost now as though every success is built on rebellion. That is like even beloved Jaguar. It's like disobey everything. Now, there's a truth. I'm using the example. Please forgive it. But many people in Nigeria understand it. It's a fictitious character, okay? But even it's good if you're under a wrong system and they're telling you to do a wrong thing and you disobey them. Yes. Even it's better you moved out from under them. But it's bad for you to teach people that as a matter of practice, you're always wiser than those above you. It's a terrible thing. Some of you won't believe how it has affected your lives already. If I tell you that it's those movies that has made you like that, you won't agree. The Holy Ghost will have to show you himself personally. Today, some of your brethren were talking, and someone was talking about how she used to listen to feminist things. Feminist. And she came to a place, and this was a real thing she said. She said she came to a place where her father says, go and make food for me. And she feels, why? It should be if I want or when, or would I like to, then I go and make the food. No, not telling me what to do. Can you imagine? Her father, the one that pays her school fees, that she has never quarreled with for paying the fees, ever. Why should you pay my fees like that? Why? Did you ask me? Can you just be giving me money? Is that one for it? Can't I take care of myself? Please keep your pocket money. Keep your clothes. Keep. Nobody thinks like that, right? To show you the devil is the devil. So that demon, of course, of the feminist thing within her would feel like that. Feeling, no. I'll not marry. I'll just have a child. Don't want any man telling me what to do. I want to be like, what's her name? Huh? No, I don't know. Did she do that? No, that's a real thing I gave. Have a child, no husband. Just have a child. Linda Ikeji. No, Oprah Winfrey has a partner. Partner? Now, how? You want to save someone's $500 for real? Are you, of that? No, I made the money. Deceiving so many people. Being their pastor. Well, I'm not a pastor. She has a partner. She doesn't have a husband. Yes, she doesn't want to be have a husband. She's talking about Oprah Winfrey. She said it. See, that whole thinking. But God said, something else. So some of them were saying that it's after they came here. You know, it's always interesting to hear these stories. I always am fascinated by them. Now, that's in the spirit. That's a prison. That's bondage. Those are chains. Those are handcuffs. They have to be broken off. Who is going to obey God and be the person that goes around setting people free? Just doing what God says. And in the process, freeing people from things that would destroy their lives. Imagine if any of those people, you go marry. The marriage is doomed before it began. It is not a matter of, oh, they married. Hey, yeah. Did you hear what happened? Nothing happened. It didn't happen. Does anyone understand me without my explaining? If that girl, one of your brethren here, there might be many of you, but one, the one that was saying it. Or in fact, the two. The other one said she didn't want to have, when it's time to have a child, she goes, gets a sperm donor, has a child. Under nothing. That was the plan. It's here. As the word of God was coming from the Bible, that you, the husband is your head, all that, that deliverance was being worked. Did I know? No. But when you follow commands, you don't even understand. Yes. And you carry it out. You are bringing the, you are walking deliverance in the earth. I am saying, this is my explanation, that if any of them had gone and married a man, and they are all cute and nice and sweet, your marriage is destroyed before. It's not on the third day or the tenth day or the second year that that marriage, when you finally said, I can't take it no more. And the other person went here and this one did that. And you went to the courts and obtained a divorce. That's not when it got spoiled. It got spoiled when that battle was won in that child's mind when they were 15 years old. When they were 15 years old. You know what a time bomb is? A bomb that has been set to blow at a certain time. It will blow. So you married a suicide bomber. The person came with a suicide vest. Bombs all over their body. While you are being kissed, kiss the bride. You are being joined. You became one with a suicide bomber. You were not attacked by the devil after you married. A bomb was put in your luggage with you. You went home with the mindset that I found a bride, a spouse. It could be a man, it could be a woman. There is a man that says, me, I cannot take any such. There's a certain thing I can't take from a woman. Maybe the woman is a very good one, but the moment I see this, I can't take it from any woman. And then you notice all the many wives. Because are you going to tell me that all those wives were similar? You don't understand. Brad Pitt. What's his name? The TV interviewer that's taken over by Morgan Pierce. David. What's his name? Not Letterman. Sorry. It's not David. I'm mixing up. The other guy. The guy on CNN that interviews people. The most popular interviewer. Larry King. You can be forgiven. Someone else is in his place now. Larry King was there for years interviewing people. Famous. And he interviewed all sorts of people. He married a total of 7 or 9 wives. You can't tell me it's the women now. 7 of them? How? How can 7 people be messed up? 7? Ah. Oh God, check yourself. Sorry, yourself. It's him! 7. Or Jennifer Lopez. How many? 7 or 9? What number is she on now? Okay, you're not correct. It's not 3 or 4. Except I won't compete. You guys know things I don't know. She's on number 8. Okay, go and do your maths. Yeah. And I think she marries all of them. I don't think these are boyfriends. We are not counting the ones. They are the ones they actually marry due to their strict religious background. Hey, you're not telling me that it's all the men that were always wrong. There has to be something wrong with you. So that person is a time bomb. That's what I meant. Tick, 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 boom. Everybody says, hey, yeah, do you hear what happened? It didn't happen. It was on the way to happening. Everything that was wrong with that person's head, that bomb, remember it's war. That bomb they put in your box when you were 15 years old, that you read that book and that nonsense, and it's waiting. That's why if you're in this church, if you like, say I didn't tell you. And if you like, when I tell you, don't take it. When you say I want to marry, and many of you will marry. When you come and you say, it's all right, I've heard you. You won't see me jump. Hey, I'm so happy for you. How? How can I be happy for you till I know what God is? I cannot be happy for you. All your friends can be happy for you. Me. My calling is to discern between good and evil. So I go like, hello, yeah, hi, what's your name? Okay. If I call his full name every time, don't say, sir, relax with him now. Just treat him like family. Are you serious? Which family? You're not married yet. Which family? Which family? You want me to encourage what may never be? No. Everyone can do that. If your mother jumped up and killed a cow for him, God bless her. You should have invited me. But I will not contribute to deceiving you and wrecking your life. And you go, Master, where will you come? You're going to be crying. Now come, arrive at my door, open the door, see you with a box. No. I don't have space. So I'm going to prevent it. And now there are students in my house. Abba, you have a husband. You have a, please go back. Come, 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 come. Pastor, good evening, sir. Please, can I spend the night here? Why? Can I sit down first? No, wait, let's talk at the door. Let's talk at the door. Why? What happened? You know my wife carried a machete. If not for God, right now I'd be dead. If you come and see my car outside, that broken window is a machete that passed through it. My wife. Let's start crying now. You see that crying? Let's do it now. Because listen to me. If people that respected marriage small 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50, 60 are having problems in their marriage. Do you know the kind of demons attached to your generation? The things you have watched on TV that have shaped your mind. You think your mind is a free entity. The information comes and floats around. How many of you still think like that? That things don't influence you. The music you listen to, the things, movies you watch. Your mind is your mind. Now, what the Bible does is to wash your mind and conform it. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is supposed to be renewed by the words of God, including these things we are studying, so that it works differently. It's like some words we've had about some of, you know, people that are supposed to marry from here. And some of them, the words are like, I look at the people that are interested in them and I go like, do you know your wife is not going to be, okay, we've had that gist here, but I wasn't, fine, forget I said it's someone here. Yeah. But I tell you guys things. Say, a guy came around me, I said, did you tell the guy? I'm not normal though. I don't think normally. I think according to the Bible, it's not the normal interpretation of the Bible. It is the correct interpretation of the Bible. Example, women can wear trousers. Because the Bible does not say women should not wear trousers. Where? Yeah. Now, that's a very childish example. Because for all I care, you can wear skirts all your days of your life for your husband. Yes? That's a joke. I mean that whole translocation matter now. How you explain that to a man? Just not marry any man without giving him like 3 years to have his mind renewed. You tell him condition to marry, he must be in our church. Oh, 2 years. Your mind has to be renewed. If after 2 years you think you can marry, by then at least you not say you didn't know. Yes? Not the one that you show up from the blues riding on Prince Charming and say, hello, babe. Ah, that will not do. But when your wife wakes up at night, they're like, kasutatila. And it's, you might say, okay, there are wives like that. That one, prayer. Now, it's not prayer. Prayer is good. And she looks at you and says, God showed me that there's a girl in your office been dancing around you. You know what the Bible says about adultery? Marriage bed undefiled, though. Marriage bed undefiled. Are you saying, see, my father married 5 wives? Said, no, you should have said this before we married. Married bed undefiled, not my bed. The day you tried. Sweetheart, you know I respect you and love you, but the day you won't succeed. I'm not saying the day you do it. I'm saying the day you try to do it, things will happen. All sorts. Many things. Love you. Have a good day. At least the poor man should have an idea. You can't just go to see, because people become anything, pretend when they want something, you know. And the day he tries it, as he's coming back, as his friend drives him back, and he looks at you, he tells the friend, this man is a witch. This man is a witch. This man is a witch. I saw this woman in the hotel room. I saw this woman in the hotel room. How did she get here? How did she get here? Because as he opened the door, holding this girl around the waist, see his wife standing there at the door like, it's how he had the wound, is the way he ran back and fell over the staircase. So I'm saying, at least you should give the man an idea that, well, you know, I believe in God, but I believe in him too much. When he tells me to do things, I'll do. Have you heard of Amy Semple McPherson, my husband? You have to read. Let's study her life. Let's be reading it for the next 3 mornings. Then you read it out. You see this kind of thing? This is the kind of thing. I tell him that before you marry him. Not after. Tell him God first, though. God first. God first. You second. But a big second. It's not like a small second. You are the joy of my life after Jesus. Let him understand that this is why we obey God. She's going to obey God. Not for money, not a man that worships money. You are allergic to mammon with all you know. Then you go and he's an idol worshiper. You're not in the same house. What do you think will happen? The way you think, he can't understand. He looks at you. You're so strange. You're so strange. You don't seem to have any example. You're like, what do we need? Is it not food and clothes? I'm fine. I bought you this. I want to get you. I saw this other diamond ring again. So I want to buy. I'm just asking, what was that your size again? Say, honey, for what? No, if you really love me, give me the money. Which money? I'm not giving you. Everything I give you, you take it and give those children on the street. You will take it. I go somewhere, I'm ashamed of my wife. Ashamed of what? I dress very nicely. 100,000 on clothes. I think it's a sin. I am saying this before. Now you enter, another breed brings this one. They've sown real silver into it. They've sown this. They've sown that. Some of you, if that idol is in your heart, you better get rid of it now. Why? Why do you want to be walking around and you're worth like 2.8 million? Why should 2.8 million be walking around? People are hungry. And we are in a war. Your husband does not know there's a war. There's a war. And you're weighing 2.8 million for an evening outing. Then you're telling me that me, your pastor, that said that I'm robber or collected. In the year 2018. That as you come out of that restaurant, they say, your hands down. They will leave small scar on your neck so you remember. Yes, it's pure gold and it's not a chain. It's plenty gold like this. He bought it the last time he went to New York. Plenty gold. That thing alone is what it could start a school and feed the children for 1 year. That thing. 300 children. You know what you know. Say, no, is it my fault? My husband just gave me. I thank God. It's okay. He'll get there inside your heart. But I mean, let me enjoy it while it lasts. God is like, you, I will deal with you. You're a soldier. You cannot be like, you can't know reality and close your eyes and walk around. People are crying here, dying here. You close your eyes. No. So make sure all these communications happen beforehand, though. Make sure the gist is flowing. Make sure you don't torture. Why I keep saying the women and the men? Because it's easier for a man to carry his wife along. That one is nothing. It's the opposite that is hard. It's the opposite that is hard. You give them time. Make sure their hearts are there. Bring them. We carry the microscope of prophetic eyesight and put it over them like this and check. We just see one deep black color there, hidden under layers of things. Tell you, I think you need to pray again, because what we are seeing is not, I think you need to pray again. If you think we are bad, like the devil will try to tell some of you, like people will tell you, if you think we have no right, it's true. We don't have a right to make you marry anybody. I hope you will always know that. In fact, if there's a thing I fear that. That's why I beg you to learn to understand me. When I say, well, I don't think, or I think, I pray you understand before you come to marry you. Because I have left people. People have tried to marry. I don't mean here. In times past. And I'm like, well, and some I just leave. So they don't see. Because it's like, you stop the other one. You almost hear their mind saying, stop this one, you see me. So I'm like, okay. But in fact, I remember one situation. They had gone far before I heard it. By the time I heard it, I didn't bother. You know, so some, this is happening. That is happening. I'm like, it's well. God will help. It's well. You know, I don't have the heart to even tell them, but you know, you sowed now. You sow corn. You want to reap what? Cassava? What you sow, you reap now. Live with it. Be strong. Be strong. Support. You know, you must support your husband. Like me, the moment you marry, everything has changed. I can't even call you your name again. You're madam now. I know. You're someone's wife. Madam, how are you? Can't pinch you again. Can't pinch you now. Can't pinch you then. Some of you are thinking, I need to marry quickly. Yeah, if you do. I mean, suddenly, how are you, man? How are the children? You're someone's wife, bro. Then your husband comes, how are you doing, sir? Well done. In communication is very low. You don't call me and say, you don't even call. Am I married? Where's your husband? He traveled. There's no network where he traveled to. Oh, you people want to come visit. Awesome. Yeah. Beautiful. You're coming with your husband? No, I need to see you about something. Does your husband know? Life changes. Things happen. We must be real to what we know. And I'm insisting that you're in a battle. This is war. Pretending that it is anything apart from war is folly. You cannot see the enemies arrayed against us and come and ask. Has anyone watched a movie where there was a wicked traitor who went out? I can't think of any now, but I think I've seen this kind of thing. And went out, saw the enemy that they have come through. He's involved in them coming. Pretends and comes back and acts as normal. Have you seen anything like that? Maybe in a movie before. And comes, acts normally, and the people, hey, lie down, and they lie down. And they come, they drag him away, hey. But he's part of them. Do you understand? Is it not one of the worst feelings you can see? It's one of the worst things you can see. How can I act like that? After what I've seen, and I know, then I act like I have no idea. And keep rubbing your head. Sleep, baby, sleep. You see, in this life, you make it. You drive your own car before you're 30. Ahead, I'm telling you. So when you drive the car off a cliff, of what use is the car? The car is your coffin. Why should I rejoice over your coffin? Because if I'm to interpret it properly, I'm to tell you, you will have your own coffin before you're 30. And you pay money for it. Me, 3 point something million. For a fine coffin. Is that happy news? How can I tell you that? I have to have better news than that. If everybody is telling you that, I have seen the enemy. I have seen what's happening. I cannot be like a blind man. What you know dictates your actions. It's what you do. Let us purpose to be people of war. Give me this passage. Someone asked concerning the issue of marriage. Also, if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he is willing to live with her, she must not leave her husband. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the Christian husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, but now they are holy. Why are they holy? Because one of the spouses is a Christian. Do you agree? Do you understand? All right. But this person that asked this question, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you should ask a question like this. Don't read half the Bible. Please show us the next verse. Do not read half the Bible. The answer is there. Want to go? But if the unbeliever leaves, let him leave. Brothers and sisters are not bound in such cases. God has called you to peace. Many translations say, but God has called you to peace. That is, God prefers you don't separate. But if the unbeliever, the one that insists on, the other one leaves, what does the Bible say? Is that in your Bible? So whoever was asking the question, do you think it's been answered? I read it now. You didn't hear it. The person asked from the middle. I read it from the middle and left it there. I'm a very obedient person by nature. Concerning the issue of marriage, all of marriage, how does one explain that first passage you read? The first two passages, verse 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians 7. And that was it. It says you shouldn't leave, you shouldn't be separated. But Paul was saying, but what if the person was, you know, but you should live in peace, stay together, or your children will be unholy. That's why it's hard for children of unbelievers to become believers. It's harder for them. It's easier for children of believers to become believers. How many of you have met your classmates that didn't know God in secondary school and they don't still know God? I don't know how to explain it though. Many classmates that didn't know God in secondary school and you know their background, they don't still know God. Many that knew or had parents that knew tend to come to know. Is that a holiness that passed through unbelieving parents? The other one is the holiness from one parent or two. That at least they were set apart for God in some way. So the Spirit of God is saying, see, now we get you. I'm not saying it's always or they can force, but still, there's just something which you saw. So the question I have read for you concerning the matter of marriage. What of the question? That's the question. I don't want to get, why should I get specific? If I get specific, I will now talk plenty. I'm very happy the person asked a question like that. God bless you. How do I study my Bible to gain better understanding? Okay, you come tomorrow. We have believers class, 5 o'clock. Okay, so you must be a first timer. So you come by 5 o'clock. We will look at that. We'll look at that. 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. Come here to this warehouse. They'll be here or in the other room or outside the seated. Come with a notebook if you can have a notebook. You take notes. Very important classes. It's a series, a course that lasts for 1 month, 3 days a week. It lasts for a month, except there's a special crash course where we squeeze it in and cover it much quicker. When you go through those classes, your life will change. Your life will change. If you have anyone you love, bring them for that class. And I've told many of you here that you need to attend those classes over and over again. If your mind still seems to work funnily, you have not attended enough believers' classes. I am serious. You could have been here for 1 or 2 years. Your mind has to be renewed. You have to have a new mind. If you carry this, the mind that this world gives you, into anything, including marriage. I know people like having a happy marriage. If you carry a normal mind into a marriage, you're going to have issues. If that your spouse has a normal mind, I said it before, I say it again. If this generation, if the ones that used to respect marriage didn't grow up seeing divorce almost at all, are divorcing, then what about the ones that grew up like many in this generation are seeing broken families, plus all the things you watch in the movies, plus that feminist demon of witchcraft, Jezebelian stuff that is all over. You're reading in books, acting tough, gisting, mixing, reading the internet. You carry that baggage into a marriage. I pity you guys. Make sure. If you're part of this church, you see, what I don't like is people coming from outside to come and ask us to give advice about their mat. I can give advice, but I don't enjoy someone that is not part of this house coming to seek what to do. I'm not saying we won't say what God says, but it is so much easier for you if you eat and drink at this table than for you to eat and drink at another table and then visiting a hospital in another town once in a while, then going back to live in the same situation that gave you the wound in the first place, that gave you the disease. You need to be in the midst of where you are partaking. I was discussing with the PD yesterday. It's not just medication. People go the same way we take medication. Do you realize that the major problem of the church is that people, drug therapy is where you take drugs to treat ailments and symptoms many times. Because sometimes it's just symptoms you're treating. You're not really treating the problem. You're not curing it. You're just trying to remove the symptoms, the manifestation of a problem. Medical people, is it so or no? Huh? Many times what you're hitting at is the symptoms. You're not really dealing with the root problem. You're trying to maintain, to stabilize. You hear them use words like stabilize the situation. They're trying to, hardly can they cure it. Sometimes they do a surgery and they remove something. That's closer to a cure. But come on, if you remove something, you have removed something. Do you understand the implications of removing something? If they've removed it, it's not there again. Is it there? They remove a kidney. Is there another kidney there? If you cut off part of my liver, I know there might be parts of the body that can regenerate, but how many? If you come after something, if you surgically remove something, is lost now. If you might replace it with a piece of metal with something, but you can't. But many times what food therapy does is that you're eating certain kinds of food that God created and it heals that thing. It cures it. That place is restored and renewed. I am saying that same mindset in the field of medicine. Now, which one is common? Drug therapy. It seems to be the only way. Very few. What is usually under traditional, you know, they call it alternative medicine. Even though alternative medicine could be fake quack, stuff too. But a lot of it's traditional medicine. Traditional medicine, medical medicine are also real. You know, someone could mix some leaves and do that put on something. Doesn't mean you have to, it can serve. In the place of iodine, alcohol, you could use awolowo leaf. That's the same one they say hospital tufa. Hospital tufa. Is this the same thing? What's hospital tufa? It has what? It itches. Are you sure that thing cures you? Are you sure it's not? When it itches you, you can't remember the other problem. You know? Okay, sorry. But there are solutions like that. When you have one problem, then they give you a bigger one. You this one. And say, they say, are you still feeling? They say, no. Okay. I don't know that one. But there's a whole world there. So these are things, natural, traditional. Oh, go and buy this, go and use this, go and do. Food therapy comes in. It's not like magic. It works more slowly, yes? But it regenerates. It's doing something. The food keeps going in. It's food. It's fruits, usually vegetables and things. And it's changing and changing and changing. And the cells of your body, you know, white blood cells and many other things within you are being generated and produced. And they start reworking because they have the raw material to rebuild. I've told all our medical people to go and study these things. Study them seriously. Study them alongside all this your school you're going to, because you're going to need a balanced view of reality. Drug therapy is popular because the people that produce drugs, the pharmacists and all that, researchers, they make money from it. It's mammon still. And as long as mammon is the god behind it, it's faulty. Primarily mammon. So know the boat. So you can add your scientific knowledge to your knowledge of God and his works and create the best solutions. There are already things out there that, and doctors that have found out some of these things. The same thing applies to spiritual renewal. You want sharp, sharp. Come. Receive it. Two tablets. Oh yeah, bring your money. It's the same now. You buy when you go for, it's the same thing. You drop your offering and then you receive it. All those that stand this side. Is that drug therapy mindset? You've been prepared for through your life. You've been prepared already. But if the therapy I am talking about, you heard when I said, oh, instead of looking for special, even when I said, oh, you have a spouse or someone you want to marry, one of the best you can do, God help you, is that you bring the person around. It will help them know sooner. By the time they go back and discuss, say, wait. Did that your pastor? Did he say this? What does that mean? And you explain. Oh, I didn't see it like that. And then, oh, that, excuse me. And he raises his hand. So he starts thinking, is this where I'm going to marry into? Is this how they, it's, now that's food therapy. You're changing his diet. Do you understand? He's eating something different. It's a gradual change. It's not, receive it! Hit him, pah, with one thing. And like magic. Not magic. It's not all these one-time things. You know, that you fell under the power, so. That's what happens when you drink too much coffee. You fall under the power and be sleeping. Okay, I hear they've stopped putting codeine in cough syrup. I don't know if you understand what I just said. A gradual change is what the renewal of the mind is. It's gradual. Little by little. Not all at once. Stop the magic thinking. If you were not around here on Sunday, you know, when our brother Emmanuel here was sharing some things and sister and Zikan also spoke, and now add it to other things you've heard. The safest way to be renewed is transformation. Who does not know what metamorphosis is? You don't know about metamorphosis. Everybody remembers that from egg to larva to pupa to adult. Started as an egg. What's the confused look? Is it so? Is it not so? If I check your first school leaving certificate, call it egg. I shouldn't call it larva. I should call it caterpillar. Okay. So, it's an egg. Does any of that happen instantly? Some takes weeks. Some even, but these are simple insects that have a very short life. And it takes a long time before they come out as a butterfly. And you say, lovely. Did you see the process? The Bible says that the process of changing from how you were to how God wants is through a process. The word there in 2 Corinthians is, that's the 2 Corinthians, Romans 12, verse 2 and 3. It says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye metamorpheo in your mind. It's the word metamorphosis. Undergo metamorphosis in your mind. Does that sound like sharp, sharp? I just went there. The pastor just laid hands on me. Since that time, my life has never been the same. That's why people come under the power and go back. People, even in this hall, people have had the most powerful encounters they have ever had in their life. They have had the heavenlies open to them, seen angels, all sorts of things. And still behave like they have not, as if they are crazy. How? People have seen Jesus. And then they do things, you wonder, have you ever even been born again? Because it's not magic. It is metamorphosis that changes you. And that takes time. So if you are wise, if you heard why I referred to what our brother Emmanuel said, he was surprised when I said the other day that I prayed for about 6 months before I said anything to my, the person that is presently my wife, you know, and then another 2 years passed before we married. And he was surprised because he's what he's used to. You go and tell a pastor, they say, okay, go and pray about it, come back in 1 week. And I'm not saying you should spend 2 years in courtship or to find out God's will or to get married. I'm not saying that. For some of you, it might be shorter. Some of you might be 6 months. Some of you might be a year. Some of you might be 3 years. But my counsel to you is you better not hurry things that shouldn't be hurried. If you are wise, because the pain, you can't compare the pain to any pain you would have had. It is far better to allow for time to pass. Interaction. Let your minds, let your mind be exposed to each other over time, gradually. Not your mind, not your mind really. I mean the mind of Jesus, the way you believe it. Even if it's not all you believe, but the one you believe. At least let there be a coming together. Let there be a metamorpho occurring. Not raw egg. You go and marry an egg. And you're a butterfly. How on earth are you people going to multiply and fill the earth? Or you go and marry a caterpillar. That stuff is good for cartoons. Not in real life. How can two work together except they be agreed? How will these butterflies move together? You're always in the air. Any small breeze that passes, when the spirit moves a little, you're up. You can sense it. You are here now and the spirit says, pray and you can leave. We need to pray. And he says, what? Sit down. What prayer? We are about to go out on an outing. This your spirituality is too much. I'm not ready for all this. Are you the first person that prays? If you stand up from this table, that's the last time I ever take you out. And you have a choice. And who has felt a death body before? Someone is going to die. If you're in pits now, you're here on Monday. Abba. If you didn't know what a death body is. Okay, some of us didn't feel it like some. I agree. But have you felt a burden and God is saying some of that and it came to pass and you know, you've come to, because if it didn't come to pass, you don't know why dead body. I don't mean a light, hey, put down your hand. I don't mean you sense someone may die. I mean it came with the burden, with the pain of it. Anyone? Is there a few people, a few of you, some 10 people here have a clue. And let's say it has happened to you 30 times before you married. Then you're married. Then you're sitting there. Boom! And you're almost sure it's your child. So tell me what you do. What will you do? You.
I'll go and pray now.
You will? Okay, maybe you're not a good example. Who wants to have a very happy marriage? Yeah? Video this. I still want to have a very happy marriage here. Yeah. You didn't hear me? See these people. Tell me, Beatrice, what will you do?
I'll go and pray.
Wrong numbers. I'm looking for someone that is more lively. You say something different, please. Please, can I see your hand? Thank you. See one person here.
Okay, that's where you tell your husband that you have a body and you want to pray about it. And some cases he might allow some.
You didn't hear the scenario. He said if you stand up, that's the last time he's taking you out.
You have to maintain and sit down.
It's okay. You maintain and sit down. When you leave that place, as you're entering the car, he's smiling, and you are smiling a little, you get a phone call. And they tell you that first child just bled out. And you know, except you didn't hear what I said. In a sense, no, then you were not listening. I said, what will you do if a death burden comes on you and you're sitting at the table with your husband? No, you're sitting with your husband. the threat was that he will never take you out again. There are one of two things that will happen. Listen, oh, because you go out and you pray and nothing happens. So he never knows if it was true. Do you understand? What happened? This is how you do in the name of this, your extremes. But you've had years of training. You know it's real. Consequences are real. You've heard me give one or two stories in my own life that has been not even dramatic. You know, sometimes I look at my life and I wonder. I used to think I had a very dry life. Because there are people that have very dramatic lives. But I look back just the few stories from 20 years ago. Here and there. I've told you about driving to this junction. Okay. Put it on BBC. Normal. I'm going to drive all the way to the office when I used to walk. And listen to the news. And as I get there, people are in the car. I'm not that kind of person. Most of you have been around. I'm not that kind of person. I've been like that. If I am a little more nice, because I'm pastoring full time. They don't see me normally, you know. Rakoshakata rakunda brother. No, except I'm forming sukata. I want to be normal. And I switch it off. People are in the car. And I start speaking tongues. I get down round Uyo Village Road, up there the hill, see a massive trailer rolling backwards, cars dodging, jumping over gutters, everything happening. Nobody died except that guy that scraped his hand that jumped out of the moving car. Other than that, that truck full of gravel would have crushed. One car was here. He tore off. If he was 3 inches to this side, I mean that truck that was rolling backwards down the hill, he would have climbed over that small car and crushed the driver. Inches, inches, inches. And God immediately let me know, this is why I told you to start praying here at this junction. So I prayed in tongues for about 60 seconds or less. That's the amount of time. About 60 seconds. That's the amount of time it took to prevent death, horror, harm, damage, and everything. What if I didn't obey? How do I know what would have happened? I don't want to know. How many of you want to know? How many of you want to not obey the Holy Ghost and find out what will happen? And that was the one and almost only time such a thing happened. Don't think it was normal. I didn't used to do that. Oh, I remember praying on a Sunday morning and I'm about to stand up, go to a cyber cafe, you know, 2002 or 1. And I'm about to stand up and it comes like, you know, a slicing of the sword. And I kneel down and I pray, and I know who it is. Like, and it's painful and I pray in tongues hard. Quickly, and it lifts, and I step out, take my mom's car. As I drive out of the gate, the phone rings, and someone I was mentoring spiritually calls me. Hello, Papa, where are you? I was in a car accident just now. It tumbled 4 times. What if I didn't pray? I should find out. I should have said, this thing. I know this is horrible, but let me see what will happen. Then she will die. Then I'll hear she died. She sneaked back to her state without telling. She didn't say, I'm not saying you have to, I'm just saying. She didn't tell, she didn't do anything. She knew. She went in disobedience. I didn't say don't go. I would have said go. But she knows I would ask her, where are you going? What for? So she sneaks, like some of you like to sneak. Sneaking is not the same as just doing what you do in your normal life. There's something that you sneak, that is, you know it will, you will be told no. So you make sure nobody hears, so you can do it. That's what she did. And she had bruises and cuts. Just bruises. Obedience, and I could tell you others. I mean, they're the ones that happened and the people died, actually died, passed away. They are dead till today. I don't know if that was necessary to say. They are dead because they did not rise from the dead. And they were 20 something years old, 30. So I've seen these things for a long time. To come act like I don't know anything, act all dumb, okay, nothing, there's no risk. Let's just do anything we like and see what will happen. No. And the Holy Ghost says, pray. You go, yes, sir. And you do what he says. You don't wait and see what will happen. Don't wait and see what will happen. I remember one morning in our house here. I mean, 2 years ago. Say, and we wake up, we have morning devotion. I don't think you guys were here yet. We hadn't restarted church meetings. Yeah. And that morning, I tell my family, do morning devotion. I said, let's praise God. I think, and they do anyhow. I stop. I said, I don't mean normal morning devotion. Let's praise God. Were you around, Susanna? The day the tree cracked behind and scattered all the glass and shattered it where the baby used to sleep. Because again, it's not normal. Fortunately for me, majority of my prophetic revelation does not come in vision form. It doesn't come, almost all. It comes by doing. So I go, we had finished the meeting. We had finished praying, reading the Bible and all that. I said, praise God. I made them again. I said, open your mouth and praise properly. I think I made them to stand. Praise God. Give thanks like something, victory has been won for something. I don't think that has ever happened before or after that. So that's why when I see myself do a strange thing, I take it seriously. I take my strange things seriously. And if you're wise, you take it seriously. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. And they did, small. Some didn't, but small. That day, a wind blows or something, breaks a branch of the pear tree behind my distance. It falls on the roof and a thick portion like this swings round. Bah! Shatters all large pieces of loaves. Now, the baby used to sleep in the inner portion of my bed like that. All of that place is full of, and the baby was not there. That day, I think she was sleeping, but in another room. Where was she? Speak clearly now, babe. Yes. And they carried her away. Shortly thereafter, I don't even think it was raining. Big pieces of, it would have just, her whole body would have been full of, it's maybe broke 3 or 4 or 5. All of them fell, would have fallen on her. You obey God. You don't find out. See, who wants to be the experiment, the guinea pig of what happens if they don't pray properly? So you must learn to obey God. And I was giving the example of, you know, that's an example of what I was going to say. Hey, you better get their mind renewed. It takes time. It takes plenty of gist. I don't say you shouldn't have sweet talk. Oh. So I'm, children you want to have, so where would you like to live? That's just gist, because if you're a soldier, you know it doesn't work like that. You can be moved anywhere. Yes, where would you want to live? What does that mean? So if the high office, the commanding officer, sends a message and says move, God Almighty says move. Some they tell you, some they don't. Your office moves you, and that's God moving you. Or he says don't go. The office moves, you say, no, I won't. God said, I should stay here. Like, when will you learn to be that? Yes, sir. You know, it's beforehand. That's what is the renewal of the mind. It takes time. It takes time. I have to keep reminding myself it takes time. When I watch some of you misbehave, I have to remember it takes time. Remember how long it's taken for you to get here. It takes time. And that's why you must give God time. I admire people that persevere more than people that try well once in a while. I admire people that stay at it, because they are the ones that win. The ones that try a little and give up. I don't admire people that try and give up. They won't make it. It takes time to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It takes time. It takes plenty teachings, plenty studies, plenty prayer meetings, plenty practice sessions, plenty. And you're being changed. And changed and renewed till your mind is like this. You think that way. The plant grows like that. The proper way. You have wings now. Not a husband that even if God sends a hurricane, it won't lift him. You, a small breeze of the spirit, you've picked it. Him, he's like a stone, a rock. You're like, are you not? Say what? You say, darling, let's pray. Say, please don't disturb me. I'm going to walk in. Doesn't even comprehend you. Or it could be a wife. Could be the other way around. Could be your wife. So keep your, you know, as I have come to understand, pastoring this few years, I've come to understand why some churches say that people should marry within. I don't agree with it. It's not right, but I can understand why. I'm sure you can understand why too. Because they are like, hey, the person has to think like us. You see, unfortunately, most of those people, when they say that, they think, that doesn't mean if you go marry, you go act odd. I'm all spiritual. Please take your wife out. You go out. Normal. Not when they say, let's go. I say, no. Souls are perishing. No. Go. Please go out. Please go out. Once in a while, though. Once a month, once in, when I have a problem with you and I'll tell your spouse that was not part of this house, I'll tell them anytime they do this, report to me. The one is the one where you now say, let's be going out every week, let's be going out every 2 days, let's be doing this every, when do you even tell me I'm back? So, see all that money you're spending on all those people there. Remember you have a wife, oh. Remember you have a wife, oh. Remember you have a wife, oh. Hey. Sweetheart, are you naked? Sweetheart, you have some nice clothes now. Sweetheart, have peace. Those children are hungry. They are hungry. The Bible says if you don't provide food for your family, you're what, an infidel? You're going to say it doesn't say food. It says provide for. Provide what? That's subject to my discretion. Since you have zero evidence to contradict me, don't say anything. It's food and clothing. The Bible tells us what you should be provided. You shouldn't be naked. It doesn't mean you have to dress like Michael Jackson. Do you understand? Or Diana Ross? Huh? Celine Dion? Those are actors and actresses. They are artists. They have to, that's their uniform. You can't watch someone wearing their uniform. Someone that has hundreds of millions in their bank account. You want to dress like them because what is wrong with you? Souls are perishing. That's when you can quote that. That's when you can say souls are perishing. So have fun. Enjoy yourself once in a while, you know. Enjoy, but don't live for it. Live to do the Lord's will. Amen? But I want to say, in case you're wondering how come I didn't use any Bible verse for everything I said earlier on. It's one of my, you know, I could give you many, many endless Bible verses, actually. So let me just give you one. I quoted it somehow, but let me quote it properly. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that the weapons of our warfare, oh God, give us verse 3, 4, 5, you know, are not 1 Corinthians. Oh, sorry, we don't have it on the wall. Okay, so this is what the Bible says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are not physical, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And being ready, verse 6 says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay? That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. Verse 3 said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So everything I said, you can take it from there. You can take it that the Bible says that we have a war. We carry out our military strategies, not according to the physical. Are you hearing? Like this marriage thing I said, all these different things I've said, is not, if you try to approach it with your head, like so many people, you look at them, you assess, does he have a good job? Can he speak English well? Does he look like, you know, people will point out with women, they'll say things like, do they have hips so they can, you know, the pelvic structure can allow for birth? Have you heard that one before? A few of you have heard it here, sir. I've said it. So they'll say that that's important too. How many of you have seen people with proper pelvic structure? They couldn't bring out the baby except cutting. And those ones were improper pelvic structure. And the baby came out. So anybody here? This world is not fair. Things don't just work properly. Don't use your head too much. Use the Holy Ghost. The Bible understands, God, the Holy Ghost understands pelvic structure. Eh? Medical people don't like me. Let me face this side. There are many of them. This side. When you ask God, is it my wife? Is it my husband? And he says, yes, 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 yes. Just go with it. But he doesn't have anything. His family, who knows them? Where is he from? How old? You see all those reasons? Don't make them make you cry. Forget it. Go with God. Practice warring according to the Spirit, not the flesh. Learn to walk with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit tell you, this is what to do. This is how to pray. Study this. Do this. Grow with that. Prepare like that. And when the day comes, you'll be glad. You win your battles. You have trees. You'll be glad. Believe me. Do you see how happy I am? You want to be as happy as I am? I was not thinking about it today. That I have no problems. None. And I think about all the people that have so many problems. Always thinking of how they are going to hit this and make this and have this and have this and make this and have this. You know, I was wondering about the combination of having no plans and no problems at the same time. It's an amazing thing. Lying down at night and sleeping peacefully and waking up in the morning and having not worrying and watching God, just knowing that God is all over you. Just there. Without endless concerns. It's a beautiful way to live. And I could have millions and be worried all the time. Concerned all the time. Have high blood pressure. My sister brought some device from and was doing tests, family blood pressure, different. So they put it, what do you call it? Can you pronounce this thing properly? Okay, whoever is listening on air, I'm not sure they know how to pronounce it well, so forgive them. But that, don't say it again. They can write it for exams. They can't pronounce it well. I'm hearing different sounds. I know they are not saying the same thing. Hey, this is it. Whatever you called it. It is for checking blood pressure. They tested different people, tested different ones. They said, you have to be careful. It's a bit too high. It's a bit too. They tested me. I was bored. They say it's perfect. That is, it's the number. I don't know what it is. But it's the perfect middle of the perfect. Yes. What do you think? What was it going to be? Be like me. Have peace in this world. You can have so much, far more money. You're doing things. People are seeing this person is doing well. Another one is, what are you even doing? In fact, you might have family meeting over your head self. Because God is greater than all things. When you have God, you have it all. Amen.